Let's go to God in prayer and believe that he's going to speak to us this evening. Lord, Father, I just thank you so much for your presence, Lord. I thank you for being with us in this place. This is your house, Lord. This is a building that we have committed to you as your house, Lord. So we want to fill this place with praises, Lord, with worship, and just to just let it be a sweet aroma to your ear, Lord. Father, I pray that we would have just hearts that are ready to receive this evening, Lord, that we would be hungry for the word, that we would be hungry for what it is that you would have for us, Lord. And God, I believe that that you're desiring to speak, that you're desiring to minister to hearts, to unlock things that have been locked. Father, the rooms that have been closed off, Lord, I believe that you're tonight longing to just open the doors to those rooms that have been closed off and looking to just completely envelop us and just to surround us completely and wholeheartedly, Lord. And Father, I believe that there are those that are here tonight, Lord, that there are areas of their life that need to be surrendered to you, need to be given over to you in order to experience your fullness, to experience all that you are, Lord. And I pray that tonight, Lord, would be the night when they would surrender completely, when Father, that you and your love would break open those doors that need to be opened up, Lord. And I thank you for your healing power, Lord. I pray that it would be released tonight, Lord, that your healing power would be released through the worship, through the word, Lord. And God, I just thank you. I thank you for being a God who is near to us, who's not distant, who's not far off, who's not beyond the mountain, Lord. You're so near. You're right here, Father. And I pray that we would sense that we would catch your passion for us, Lord, that you, God, would just envelop us with your love and your presence, and your glory would fill this place, Lord. Jesus, that your glory would fill this place tonight, Lord. And I pray for Carol and, and God, that you would lead her and inspire her in worship, Father, and that God, you would just fill her mouth with words that are from heaven, Lord. And I pray for our speaker, friend, Lord. I thank you, God, for him and bringing him here, Lord, and his faithfulness to come and his faithfulness to walk out the calling on his life, Lord. And I pray that you would just bless him and that you would anoint him. And Father, that you would infuse him with courage, Lord, the Holy Spirit courage to speak whatever you've put on his heart to speak, Lord. There would be no holding back, that he would step into everything that you've called him to share tonight with just full assurance that you're behind him, Lord. And I thank you for those that have come. I pray you would bless every single one, Lord, that they would leave tonight more just in love with Jesus than they came through those doors, Lord. I pray for your power and love to just be poured out over this place. And I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We want to get right into the teaching time and ministry time. And
amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. How's everybody doing tonight? This morning we were sharing a bit on couples, and we were sharing a bit this morning on something called oxytocin, that it's a chemical in your body that's released through hugging and through words of encouragement. So we had some couples that were sharing on, you know, they were sharing with each other words of encouragement. So I think all of them end up having a date night tonight or something, I think is what happened. You know, it's a sign and a wonder following the preaching of the word. Praise God forevermore. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Bruce. You really have a steadfastness. And I heard some reports of what God has done in and through your life over this past 20 years. 20-some years, yeah. So and so we just thank God for that. And how many know it only takes a spark to get a fire going? Amen. And this afternoon, I'm not one who claims everything, but I had a deep time of meditation, what some would call sleep. And I had a little rest this afternoon. But in that time, God downloaded something into my spirit regarding this house, this church, and where you all are growing. And so what I've noticed happening across the body of Christ in Canada is that where there's a people that are pressing in for more, you'll hear me use this word, I call it an anomaly. That church usually is an anomaly. And what's taking place here at Harmony Church is actually an anomaly. It's a rare occurrence out in this country setting. And so I said, but I can see why. Because what happens is where there's a people who want to know their God, and they press in, they do the extraordinary, God will do the supernatural. When we do the extraordinary, God will do the unexpected for His glory. Amen. So I just want to encourage you with that. And I want to just mention a little bit of material that I have here. And some of it, there's not a lot of it here. We need to get a bunch of stuff replenished. But there are a few things. And one is called The Story of Our Christian Heritage for Canada. And it's a teaching by Bill Pranker. And I don't know if everybody here knows this, but in 1867, our founding fathers got together. And they were talking about what should be the name of our great nation. And so, you know, they were coming up with different things, Canada and all these different things. So they went back, they said, let's just end this for today and resume again in the morning. So the Premier of New Brunswick, Sir Samuel Tilley, went back the next morning. He was doing his devotions, reading from Psalm 72, and he came to Psalm 72, verse 8, which says, He, speaking of Jesus, shall have dominion from sea to sea. Think of the St. Lawrence River, from the river to the ends of the earth. So he went back to our founding fathers and said, let's call this nation the Dominion of Canada. So our nation is founded on a Bible verse. Come on. I don't know of any other nation in the world that got its name from the Bible. And so I am so glad I am Canadian. Come on. Amen. So that's the story of Canada's Christian heritage. And then there's this book we were asked to be a contributing author to. It's called Canada Book of Decrees, or Canada Book of Prayers and Prophecies. And it was compiled by a young lady who actually used to live in this area named Fatine Grzeski, and different national leaders, some that lead the National House of Prayer, Robin Fran Parker. And we were asked to do two or three chapters in it. But it's 31 prayers, one for each day of the month, that you can be a part of praying God's dream through for Canada. And this is one of our best sellers. And in the back, there are some prophecies over the nation of Canada and how God gets involved in the boundaries of nations. Listen to this. This is one from 1776, okay? This was recorded by the Puritan reformers in 1776. It says here, after 1776, this prophecy was given by the Puritan reformers when the British Empire loyalists turned north to settle in Canada in order to remain under British rule. When zealous Americans sought to persecute them because of this decision, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through their prophet, saying, "Do not hinder these people. Let them move to Canada. Do not seek to incorporate the land of Canada into America. I am in the independence of America from Britain and will mightily use this country, but Canada has been reserved by me for the last days for a special work." And we are in the last days. So that is so exciting. Somebody say, "I am Canadian." And what's neat also, this is just the announcement time here, by the way, but I really believe God is igniting fires here, okay? And what's really neat is that the body of Christ is moving from a place where it used to be about somebody to where it's about the whole body. And that each one sees a move of what God wants to do in this great nation. And I'm not satisfied with 6% born-again Christians in the nation of Canada. And I know God certainly is not. It says in Isaiah 53 that when he saw the suffering of his soul, or the fruit of the suffering of his soul, he was satisfied. And so, you know, he looked at all the people that would come to him in Isaiah 53. He talks about that, and he says he was content. No parent here would be content with 6% of your children born again. So we believe that Canada shall be saved. Amen. So let me just pray. Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights. And Father, we thank you. There's no shadow of turning with you, Lord, but you remain the same. Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Holy Spirit, we roll out the red carpet for you tonight. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Just say that, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. So grant us each, God, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better and better. Let our hearts be enlarged, my God, with expectancy for the glory of God. And everybody said, amen. So how many are hungry for Jesus? All right. I realize, you know, sometimes with meetings like this, what can happen is that there are certain apprehensions. There can be sometimes be fear. But Jesus dealt with that in the book of Luke. He said, if you ask my Father for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you something evil. If you ask him for, you know, if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a rock. He's not going to give you a snake because he's a good, good father. There was one time I was ministering out in St. John's, Newfoundland, and it was right after one of the National Cry prayer meetings, and there was a lot of just neat things happening in the service. You know, Jesus was displaying his presence and his love, and what happened is this lady, she ran up to the front because, you know, she wanted to be healed for something, but she stopped and she looked at me and said, "Declare Jesus as Lord." You know, she's taken that from I don't know if I ever told you this, honey, but she took that from 1 John where it says, anybody who can declare that Jesus is Lord is not from the Antichrist, you know. So up to that point, she wasn't sure, you know. So I said, Jesus is Lord. And we had a wonderful night. Continue on from there. So it's been a wonderful experience traveling the great nation of Canada as a young boy that grew up in a Pentecostal church two blocks away from my home. I used to look at guys like Pastor Bruce and say, how can they talk longer, more like for longer than 5 minutes? Do you know what I mean? I used to think, how I'd be like Sammy's age thinking, you know, how can they talk longer than that? And then when God called me in the ministry, I said, this is going to have to be a miracle, you know, to move from not being able to share 5 minutes. And some now, I understand, wish I would only talk 5 minutes, you know. But it's good to be filled with the boldness of God. And so God wants to ignite each one of us with fresh fire. And I believe that that's going to stir. So don't be afraid. God is not here to give us bad gifts. He's here to give us good gifts. So I want to lay out a foundation in the area of healing. But before I do that, I want to share a bit of my passion. When I was in university, I would go by different churches, you know, on the way to university or on the way to the big Glad Tidings Tabernacle in Sudbury, where I went to church. And I would look at all these different churches. And I would say, why are there so many different churches? And a prayer went out of my heart that I never vocalized to God. And that was, God, I want to be able to begin to minister in different types of churches. And so that began to happen. Doors began to open up. And even within the city we used to pastor in for 14 years, I was able to do an ordination service at the largest Baptist church in our city of Guelph. Now, this wasn't in somewhere else where they don't know you, a different city, a different province. This was right in our own city, okay? And so I shared the pulpit with one of the heads of the Fellowship of the Baptist Churches of Canada. I thought, like, Lord, pinch me. This is so good and so real, you know. And some say it's too good to be true, but how many know true is good and good is true? Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so, you know, and I even actually, the friend who was the intern pastor at that time that I was a guest speaker for the ordination service, I actually even gave him a prophetic word, but I retooled how I said it. Somebody thought it was just a word of encouragement. Amen. So we don't have to freak people out. We just become supernaturally normal and let Jesus be unpacked in every one of his churches. So then another thing happened is that my wife got this call, and at this time, Sammy was just a baby, all right? And this United Church in where we pastored in Guelph asked us to come and do a meeting in a United Church, and they knew what we were like, okay? And so what happened was they asked, they said he wasn't home, and right? Or not he, I wasn't home. And you said, yeah, he can do the meeting. It was on a Thursday morning. And so my wife said, well, what's the theme? And so they said, Lord, let your glory fall. In the United Church. So she said, what if it does? Because when God shows up, anything can happen, and it probably will. It's liable to happen. So this was actually a closet charismatic named Jean Early, who worked at the Storehouse Christian Bookstore in Guelph. But she went to the United Church. And so we went there on a Thursday morning. And I think you had Sammy in tow. He was a little baby. We walked in. A little over, we're still wet behind the ears, but we were like soaking wet behind the ears back then. So we walk in, and the youngest person there is about 60, and then it went up from there. And then all of a sudden, the arms went crossed. And I said, oh, hallelujah, this is going to be about as fun as a funeral, you know, about as fun as jackhammering something cement. But I said, you know what, God always has a plan. And so I said, how many here have seen our television program? No hands went up. I said, because we don't have a television program. And then I said, and then what happened is God said, I want to perform a miracle in that man. It was a man in the front row, 84 years old, who was partially crippled. He had a cane. He got up. God touched his leg. He was instantly healed by the power of God. No healing choir, no special song service, none of that. Just a brunch near Christmas time. And God's glory was released. And once that man was healed, all of a sudden the cross arms went down. And so they had kind of a setup like here, except we would have had the brunch. We'll call that the fellowship hall. So we had a brunch there afterward. Or sorry, we were about to have a brunch. But the one lady came up and nobody responded. I mean, you could not tell how it went after sharing. So the one lady got up and said, you know what? If you'd like to receive prayer, come into the sanctuary. So about 80% of the people got up and they wanted to receive prayer. And then we just begin to pray the fire of God. They don't have catchers or any of those things in the United Church, but people are being hit by the fire of God. One lady walked out, you know, she adjusted her blue hair, amen. And she said, that was a special service today, amen. So God wants to have his way. Now this is another cool thing. We got to share at an Anglican church in Toronto. Held at a Catholic church. So in the front row was the Anglican priest and the Catholic priest. And I said, God, this happens in dreams, you know. And so we got to do this. I had a couple of our friends. They served as ushers in the church, but just good friends. So they came with me. And so I just shared on the New Covenant or New Testament blessings in Christ, you know, just a basic message on the gospel. And so I gave a salvation call. How many here would like to fully follow Jesus Christ? Well, hands started going up like popcorn. And I thought, maybe they've misunderstood. So I made even more clear, more hands went up, including the Catholic priest and the Anglican priest. Oh, come on, shout hallelujah. And so this is awesome. Thank you, Lord. So then we went back and had a luncheon afterwards. And the dear Catholic priest, he says, I've been in ministry 10 years. But he says, I feel like I'm just starting today. I said, you're absolutely right. You're starting today for the glory of God. So these are some fun things we get to do. And now there's some obstacles along the way. I had a good friend who was who, while he was in a particular denomination, he said to me, if you go to that Bible school you want to go to, you will never preach in a Pentecostal pulpit across this nation. And I thought, well, I know that's where I want to, that's where I met my wife, you know. Thank the Lord. By the way, when you came in here tonight, we were talking about angelic visitations. I thought I was having one, but it was actually my wife. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. With little Gabriel with her, actually Stephen. But anyhow, so you know what? That exact pastor had me back 2 years later to do two or three services in his church. So there's sometimes as obstacles as you fight for unity. There's sometimes obstacles as you press in for a passion for unity, but God will have his way. You know what? I actually have a master's degree in theology. I don't always put it beside my name, but I actually have one, you know. And that doesn't surprise anybody here. It actually should surprise you a bit. But I actually have a theological degree, which is very exciting as a branded charismatic. Amen. So I have studied the Bible, and I believe that God wants to reveal it through each one of us. Amen. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many feel that God has been trying to get you out of your comfort zone? How many last year you went through some obstacles in your walk, just in your life? How many had some obstacles last year in 2016? Just raise your hands in the air. All right, I mean, basically every hand. Some had so many obstacles, they were too tired to even raise their hands, you know. But we understand that we go through obstacles, but God wants us to get us out of our comfort zone so that he can do more in us, so that he can do more through us. Amen? So I pastored, and you can just stay there, Matthew 8. We pastored in Guelph for 14 years, and it was a fun time, really fun time. We had the privilege of leading the local ministerial for 7. Hard to think of an evangelical church that wasn't connected. That's where I met Joel Zanting. And just a really, really wonderful time. But what began to happen in our life, God began to interrupt our comfort zone. I went to Bible school desiring, you know, to see God's fire ignited across this nation. And it was the perfect will of God to pastor for that season. But I began to get comfortable in that place. See, because in the nation of Canada, there are about 7 or 8 full-time evangelists from every denomination that I know of across the nation of Canada. You know, within the half an hour of this area, you have way more than that of pastors. So there's not a lot of evangelists in our great nation. So when God began to call me out, it wasn't something that you had to work through a lot of things, you know. You have 3 children, and once in a while they like to eat, you know. And so these are different things you got to consider when you're stepping out of something that you're familiar with into something that's unfamiliar. But when you step out there, when you take the first step, God reveals and illuminates the next step that we're to take. But if we never take the first step, all we see is the one right in front of us. But God is saying, come a little closer. Let me lead you. And as you follow, I'll continue to lead. So it says here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when he, that's Jesus, had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and said and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Many times the debate in healing is, they want to know, is Jesus willing? And some even pray that way. Lord, if it be thy will, would you heal so-and-so? But you'll never see a biblical prayer where Jesus or any of the disciples prayed such a prayer. So it says here, a leper came to him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So the leper believed that Jesus could. He just didn't know if Jesus was willing. And so he knew, Jesus, you can, but will you? So then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So I want to tell you, Jesus can and Jesus will. Everybody say, Jesus can and he will. So this man, the leper, knew Jesus could. He just didn't know if he was willing. And Jesus made his will. He unpacked his will and made it very clear. He said, I am willing, be thou cleansed. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Lord our God. He does not change. And so sometimes we can let experiential reality change what the truth of God's word says. But God wills all men to be saved, but just because all men aren't saved doesn't mean it wasn't God's will. The Bible says he wills all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we don't need to get caught up in what's happening between heaven and earth. We just share the word of God and it'll eliminate whatever's happening between heaven and earth so we can receive the gift of healing, pray for the sick, amen, and then point them to Jesus. Because miracles, the purpose of miracles and healings and signs and wonders, they're a part of the covenant for the believer. They're a part of God's will for the believer. But for the unbeliever, they're a sign to point the people somewhere. So miracles and signs and healings will bring people to Jesus. It won't keep them there, but it'll bring them to Jesus. See, having a relationship with him, knowing the truth is what keeps us there, but miracles are what bring us there. You can see that through the life of Moses and Israel. Psalm 103 verse 7 says that Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. So Moses stayed and he was able to follow. He wasn't one of the ones that had to die in the wilderness. But the ones that just knew the acts of God, they knew the miracles of God, they died in the wilderness. So the acts of God bring us to Jesus, but knowing his ways keep us there. Amen. Somebody say he can, and he will. All right, I'm going to keep reading here, verse 4, and it says, "And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, and said, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. So Jesus can and Jesus will. Let's flip over now to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8. Jesus can and Jesus will. And it says here in verse 21. Mark chapter 8 verse 21. It says, so he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Then he came to Bethsaida and they brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on the eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. This is really cool. When there's a scientific study now that shows that when we lift up our eyes, when we look, let's say up, let's look at the stars, or we lift up our eyes, not when we look forward and we look down, when we lift up, there's actually creative juices on the inside of us that get moving. Isn't this really cool? It's a scientific thing. So when Abraham, yeah, everybody's doing it now. So Abraham in the Bible, God said to him, come out of that tent, because the tent he was in was like a two-man pup tent. And God says his dream, Abraham's dream was, you know what? Everything I have, I don't have any offspring. I don't have any children. So everything I have is going to Eliezer, my servant from Damascus. So Abraham's dream could fit in a two-man pup tent, him and Eliezer. So God said, come out of your limited thinking in that tent and get under my canopy, under my tent. Lift up your eyes, count the stars, see if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And as Abraham looked up, those creative juices of God began to flow. And any time after that, he got disturbed or he got sidetracked or he got discouraged, he would just look up again and remember, this is the promise. God will have it come to pass for his glory. And he's the father of all. He's the father of us all. He's the father of faith. Thank God we can lift up our eyes. Amen? We can look at the... And even Jesus said that to the disciples. Look at the fields. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They were already white unto harvest. We're looking down and Canada's getting bad and all this kind of stuff. But in that place, we can either look at what the circumstantial evidence is or what God has said about the nation of Canada and the nations of the world. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. I'm about to take off here like a rocket. Amen. Rapture test. Glory to God. So it says here, he took the man and he led him out of the town. Why did he do that? Sometimes we got to come out of where we've been. Sometimes we've got to come out of our mindsets and our thinking. He says, you're really used to this. I'm taking you out of this town. I'm taking you out of this place. And so an extra little meeting like this even is good for us because it takes us out of what maybe we're familiar with, what I'm familiar with, what we're all can be familiar with. He takes us out so he can show us something new. It wasn't he had something against Bethsaida, but he just knew that nothing could happen there. He had to take the man out and bring him to a new spot so he could see something new. Glory to God. And then this is really cool. This is also scientific. So it says that he spit in his eyes. We know that DNA is carried different ways, but what we are learning now, what they are telling us, is that DNA can also be carried through saliva. So what he did was he spit in his eyes, and literally the life-giving saliva of God, Jesus, was released in the man. See, he had DNA that could not see. Jesus had DNA that could see. And so it changed his physical being for his glory, for God's glory. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So I love this stuff. God writes stuff and science catches up and we learn from it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Are you all happy here today? Glory to God. So I'm happy and I know it. I'm going to shout amen. Amen. So Jesus can and Jesus will. I sense as well, you know, some here tonight might be a bit, discouraged. I sense that is even as I'm just preaching here. But I want you to know God will infuse fresh fire into you. He gave us a vision, a mandate about a year, maybe a year and a half ago. He says, I want you to see 10,000 believers ignited with my fire in the nation of Canada. And I thought it was going to take a lifetime, you know, but it's not taking a lifetime. By the end of last year, we've seen just under 3,000 people ignited with God's fire, everyday believers. He's also asked us to see 100 preachers, 100 voices in our nation raised up and released across this great nation. And as I was just resting today, you know what? A download, a God download, a God thought came to me about this church, that out of this church, this house, Harmony Church, are to go flames of fire. Short-term missions, long-term missions across the nation of Canada, but also to different nations of the world. And God has struck a match here that's been burning, and you're going to see it continue to burn brighter and stronger in the days to come. So do not grow weary in well-doing, says the Lord, for the things that I've set before you are an open door. And I will provide, where I guide, I will provide, says the Lord. So just beginning to be willing and ready for those that I will launch out of this house. It will even surprise those that have continued to gather around this place and are watching you at this time. It'll bring them to such a place of watching that they will begin to make dedications for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the days to come, you will see that my hand is upon this house, and I will get glory more than I ever have before in and through this place, says the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's awesome in this place. Why don't we just raise our hands towards heaven? Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. Hallelujah. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise, and to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. One more time. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise, and to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Holy Spirit, we just give Jesus tonight all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And Father God, I thank you right now, Father, for your promise. And God, I just take authority and I break any fear that would want to hinder mindsets for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. There was a place in the New Testament very similar in the, as far as setup with a setting like this, a synagogue. And Jesus called out a man that had a withered hand. He just called him out. He was in the service. He called him out. And the man came forward. And Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. God always has to give us the power of choice. You know, he's given that to us, the power of choice. Why is there evil on the earth? Because God's given us the power of choice. He gave earth to the sons of men. And because of that, there's wickedness because sons of men back at Garden of Eden handed it over to the devil. Now, thank God Jesus took it back, but it's only operated through those that call on his name and those that are born again. But anyways, he called the man out and said, stretch forth your hand. So the man chose to be vulnerable and stretched forth his withered hand, and his withered hand was made whole. If he would have stretched forth his strong hand, he would have went away with a withered hand. Because Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he was instantly healed. Sir, can you come? You're a pastor. I felt that the Lord, I felt that you were coming for some sort of a confirmation or an encouragement or a word that God would bless you by. And I see in your spirit that there's some things that have been untapped in your ministry up to this point. And what I heard, I said, well, God, you know, just a silent prayer in my heart as we were just worshiping. I said, God, what is it? And I really feel like something like institute or education or training that God wants you to mentor. And I don't know if you've even begun this or not, but mentor almost like in a small Bible group, college type setting, like a training institute to begin to raise up and release people. And that untapped thing, that thing in you that, you know, God never wants us to go to the grave with a song in our heart. And it's like other areas are fulfilling, but it's almost like, what is that? And I really feel that there's like an institute in you that God wants you to raise up men and women, young men and women, older men and women, raise them up in the word and see them sent forth. Now, some will just continue to work in the marketplace, but I also feel that some will be raised up as vocational pastors and evangelists. And so, you know, whoever is your overseers and however your structure's in within the fellowship you're part of, you know, bring those things to them. But I feel this is burning in your heart. And I really believe that God will begin to articulate it and give it vision and structure in and through your life. So begin to write it down. I see over the next 3 days, even 3 weeks, moving towards even 2 months, I see you writing down a plan. And as you write it down, write down that plan, God will put grace on it and enable it to come to pass. Amen? For the glory of God. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to the school of ministry? Is it the school of the heart? It is the school of the heart. That's really good. What I see that the purpose of the main reason why you're going there, not just because you want to go there, but the main reason why God's going there, I felt like that through the worship, through the times of worship, it's going to create like an open portal into your heart. And that through that, God is going to infuse destiny. He's going to infuse, I shouldn't say destiny, he's going to speak into your destiny that already exists on the inside of you. But he's going to speak hope through that portal, and he's going to speak, first and foremost, he's going to speak to you about your very identity as a daughter of God. The main formation that that school of the heart is going to do for you is in the area of identity, because out of identity flows your destiny. And so that's what's going to take place. So, Father, I just pray that grace on her life for the glory of Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to continue to minister, but I want to just finish up this word here. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. So Jesus can, you know, Jesus can and Jesus will. He can and he will. And it says here in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, and it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man was full of leprosy, saw Jesus, fell on his face, and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus could. He just didn't know if he was willing. And it says there in verse 13 that he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. So Jesus can and Jesus will. And it says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil comes not except to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I like the way the Classic Amplified Version says it. It says, I've come to give you life to the full till it overflows. Life in abundance to the full till it overflows. So God wants you flowing out with abundant life for his glory. And sometimes you just got to let it get off of you into the people around you. Amen. And that's created through praise. Amen. As we praise Him, it gives entrance to the kingdom of God for His glory in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many having an all right time tonight? You having fun? Amen. I just believe that as walls come down, God wants you to trust Him in this area. You know, Moses, he knew God in many ways, but there was something that took place when God revealed His name to him in Exodus 33 and 34. Something was imparted to Moses after he cried out to God and said, "Show me your glory." He said, "I can't show you my face. You cannot see my face and live." But he said, I'll hide you there in the cleft of the rock. You'll see my back. But something was imparted to him there. And in Exodus 34, it says that God revealed His name to him. And out of that place, a greater strength was put into Moses. Because what God reveals to you about His nature, it gives you a revelation that you can walk in. So if you see Him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, no one can take that from you. You're a witness. You can only go by what you've seen and what you've heard. If you know Him as healer, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, your healer, you know it's not something He just does. It's who He is. He is Jehovah, the Lord God, our healer. And nobody can take it away from you. So you can't argue with somebody, you know, mentally, who that hasn't been revealed to them, or the opposite's been revealed to them by good, well-meaning, intentional, you know, intentioned people. You can't take that. You cannot take that from them, because they haven't seen that revelation of God. And so no sense arguing. The Pharisees knew the Bible. They knew the Bible. They were very headstrong in scriptures. But when Jesus showed up, demonstrated, you know, God's glory, fulfilled a bunch of prophecies, they still did not believe that He was the one. They had a head full of knowledge, not a heart full of revelation. Yet at 8 days old, a man named Simeon looked at him and said, "I've been waiting for the consolation of Israel." Jesus did not have a halo over his head as a baby. Yet this man knew that this was Jesus even as a baby. Because it's not about a head full of knowledge, it's about a heart full of revelation. So there's no sense arguing head to head. Amen. I remember being in a debate one time with a Muslim. And, you know, we were talking, and it just became more of a debate like this. I backed up a bit, thought, this isn't going anywhere. And so I backed up a bit, went for a little bit of a walk, and he said, "Just reveal my love to them," which lays down the right to first and foremost be right. Just share what I've done. So I went back, and it silenced them. Silenced them. It was a couple other young men. We were around the same age. Just silenced them, because the love of God was shared with them, and they had nothing more to say out of that. But if I would have kept up my head argument, you know, saying this scripture and this, you know, without the power of God. We want to know the scriptures of God, but also the power of God. And so what happened was, when we revealed the love of God, it changed that whole meeting. Rather than just both of us going away angry. Amen? So Father, I just thank You that tonight, Father God, You are showing, God, that You can and that You will, for Your glory. I'm just going to ask heads to be bowed, just eyes closed. I don't know each one here tonight. I don't actually know many of you. Some I've just met this morning. But I just feel that the Lord wants me to give an invitation to you to fully follow the Lord our God. The Bible says that the wages or the payment for sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus Christ took the punishment for all of our sins, past, present, and future, upon the cross. He took our place so that we could be seated with Him in His place at the right hand of the Father. But it comes by a confession of knowing that, a confession of sin, that we have not believed in Him. We have not believed in Jesus. We have not repented and received that kingdom. He is building a kingdom through people. And so you know what? You think, well, I've given these areas of my life. He's Lord in these areas. But really, Jesus can only come into our life one way, and that's Lord of all. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And I just sense searching hearts here tonight. Not many. Obviously, many of you are born again. But I sense a couple people that God is tugging on your heart. And so heaven votes for you tonight. Hell votes against you. But you cast the deciding vote. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, you say, you know what? Jesus is not Lord of all in my life. He can only come into your life one way, though, and that's Lord of all. So I'm just going to ask you, if you could just raise your hand and say, you know what? Please pray for me. I want to get right with God tonight. If that's you, in the count of three, just raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Slip up your hand. So I want to get right with God. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Who else would say that's me? I want to get right with God tonight. Yes, God bless you. Who else would say that's me? I want to know him. Yes, God bless you. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Choose life. Let's all pray this together. Amen. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead that I might have eternal life. I repent of sin. I believe in Jesus. Cleanse me by your blood. Fill me with your spirit. I want to fully follow you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to just share a couple. Let's just actually thank God for that. Hallelujah. Heaven parties. Glory. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to just share a couple little testimonies before I pray for a few more people. And do you mind coming back? It's Carol, right? Do you mind coming back on the keyboard? Amen. And so one time when we were living in St. Catharines, I went to get some pierogies at Rose's Italian shop. And as I went there, you know, I was wearing my baseball cap on, had track pants on, and I didn't really feel like a healing evangelist. How many know what I'm saying? I just felt hungry for pierogies. So I go in there, and there's this lady. She's deaf in one ear, and she's complaining about her hearing, which, you know, I mean, you can't really blame her because she can only hear out of one ear. But at that point, I was hungry. I wanted some pierogies, and all I could hear was this lady complaining about her hearing. So I took the opportunity when Rose was making up my pierogies. I began to share with her about the healing power of Jesus, maybe one or two scriptures. And you can do this. God has enabled you to do exactly this, is just share a few scriptures and just something else where maybe you've prayed for somebody and they've gotten healed. Amen? And so in that place, I did that. And then I did what I've seen some evangelists do. Pastor Bruce, I stuck my fingers right in her ears. Hallelujah. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. And Jesus did it too, by the way. Amen. But I've seen an event. I thought, I'm going to try this out right here. Amen. So I did that. I said, in the name of Jesus, come open. God popped open her deaf ear for his glory. Amen. And so she was a nice Catholic lady, loved Jesus. And so about a month later, I went back there to get more pierogies. And Rose was there, and she said, that lady you prayed for that got healed in her ear, she was back today. She had some kind of thing going on with her ankle. And she says, where's that young man? I need him to pray for me again. And I thought, well, we need a whole army of people that are praying for the sick across the nation of Canada in the workplace. We had a Bible school back in Guelph that we led, and there was a man named Doug Peebles. And he works for the government. He goes into the government during his breaks at lunchtime. And you know what? There was one time this lady came to him to receive healing and prayers in the area where she was sick. So no matter where you are, God wants you to tell others about him and tell them, you know, and pray for them. I've had very few people who've ever said, no, I don't want to receive prayer. We've even gone door to door. We've done those. You never ever see those people that you don't want them coming to your door? We've done that. We went door to door asking if people wanted, can we just, you know, we're from this area, we're from this church, we just want to pray for you. Do you have any needs? You know what? One out of all the people, all the doors we knocked on, only one said no thank you. And they weren't mean, they just said no thank you. They probably had a family dinner. But nobody refused prayer. We weren't there trying to win them to our church. We were trying to just share about the love of Jesus. So I let two of the Bible school students go in as I waited by the kind of the curb, you know, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm sending these guys out here. Hallelujah. Tell them you're from Harmony Church. You know, don't tell them you're from where we're from. Amen. No, I didn't say that. But they went up there and they prayed for this one lady. Oh, sorry. Yeah, they prayed for this one lady and she gets healed in a wrist. And so then I said, wow, I'm going to go up there, you know. So I said, the same Jesus that healed you is the same Jesus that will save you. And she got born again. Amen. And so there's all kinds of different ways and opportunities, you know. I want to do this someday where you get into an elevator with a bunch of people, you know, and you kind of turn around and face them and say, I'm glad that we're all gathered here today. Amen. And just share Jesus with them. Hallelujah. I went out with this one guy. He used to be the toughest guy in St. Catharines, 6'9". Pastor Bruce, he wasn't sure about that one. I'll let you clean it up next week. Amen. But but I used to hang out with this guy, Kenny Bush, 6'9". Used to be the toughest guy in St. Catharines. He gets saved. But people still know who Ken Bush is, and they don't all know he's saved. So we walked into Have a Java on St. Paul Street in St. Catharines. And you know, Kenny, he gets up there, 6'9". You notice him, and especially you notice he was the toughest guy in St. Catharines. He goes in there, he says, "Hey, everybody." And they all listen to what, you know. They said, "My friend here's got something to say to you." And he sits down. No warning. So I know you got to be ready in season and out of season. So I preached Jesus to them. And the ones, you know, there were some guys, they were mad. They were kicking their heel against the wall. And then there was some that were just neutral. But what I saw was the guys that were mad at the beginning were the ones who became receptive a month or two later. And the guys that were neutral with no response either way were still neutral 2 months later. So I'd rather make them mad or glad. But I don't like that in-between thing, you know. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, you know, I got to spew you out of my mouth, right? So you want to be on fire for God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You think, well, I'm not sure what people around me might just think of that. They might think something's happened to them. They got something now to talk about. Maybe you talked so much before, but now you actually got something to talk about. Surprise them this coming week. Rev up for it too, for the glory of God. How many like these healing stories? Amen. So we were just in another one. And sometimes you're, especially when you're in a different area, you get bold. So I get this call, Pastor Bruce, from the secretary of an international healing evangelist. He was out playing tennis with his brother and sprained his ankle. And she said, "He needs you to do a meeting in Scarborough in 2 hours. I thought, wow, this is a lot of prep time, you know. 2 whole hours I got to go to Scarborough for this crowd where there's 1,300 people. I thought, oh, wow, it's now or never. Glory be to God. And so we went there. Do you remember this, honey? And so we worshiped for like an hour. They just loved the worship. And it was going to be interpreted, you know. And so we got up there, and they get one on this long thing, why this international healing evangelist couldn't be there, this long Toronto thing. And then finally we got introduced. So I went up there, and it was interpreted. So I preached, this is just what I preached. I said, "Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell, you know. Because it had to make it rhyme. Jesus wants you well, and Jesus wants you to go and tell." If it would have worked with heaven, I would have said it, but it didn't. I had to rhyme it, you know. So it was really simple. Well, over 100 people, this is in Canada, rushed to the front to be born again. Out of 1,300 people. People, this one guy was 2 years old. He was deaf in both ears, this little baby. And I prayed for the little baby, and his father was behind him. I said, "Call your son." So the first time in his little two-year-old life, he heard his daddy's voice and turned around, and the dad cried and flipped out. You know, more surprising than the child, because the dad, you know, knew the process. But God did miraculous things. And I was spoiled, not that just God can do it overseas, but that he wants to do it here in Canada. Through everyday people like you and I. Everyday people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.